Tommy.
Oh, Tommy.
Here with the gravy, Davey.
Davey.
Everybody eats when they come to my house. How about tomato, Plato?
Plato.
Here's got your Toradora.
Oh, Dora.
Try the bologna, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Everybody eats when they come to my house. I'll fix your favorite dishes. Hope
welcome
this good food
to
fill
Say
you.
Yes to the Chef.
Stay in the kitchen.
Our guest today is Cyril Murphy, and he's the food service director at Chestnut Ridge Farm and Retreat Center in Eflin. But he also wears other hats, which we will find out in a few minutes. I'm Chef Janice Escott. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, and I'm Chef Kelly Taylor. Hi, Cyril. How are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Happy to be.
So you wear other hats, and we're going to find out about those. You are involved in all kinds of things in the community, in addition to being the food service director at Chestnut Ridge Camp. Where is the camp located, actually?
In Eflin, which is just off of the highway past Hillsboro, off of 85, and just about 15 minutes north of Chapel Hill.
Okay, so it's in Orange County.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so what does that entail? What do you actually do there at the center?
So much. We've got almost 400 acres. We have a year-round after-school program with about 100 kids in it. And so they get to partake in fresh foods every day. We also have a preschool program. We do summer camps and retreat groups for anybody and everybody. So over 45,000 meals will have been served the year 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And over 2,000 kids come through our space during summer camp, which is just an awesome feat to feed all of those children.
Is it an overnight camp or is it a
both?
Day?
We have overnight camp and residential camp.
Oh, nice!
It sounds great. It's beautiful when I looked at the site on the website. Would you give the name of the website?
Sure, campchestnutridge.org.
Okay,
all one word.
All one word. Okay, so I understand that you are involved with a farmer food share. Let's look at that and see what that is.
Yeah, so out at Camp Chestnut Ridge, we're a nonprofit organization, and Farmer Food Share is also a nonprofit organization, and they have a couple branches. One of those branches is their donation stations, which many of your listeners might see at local farmers markets. That's a place where you can donate food or money that will then go back into different organizations in the community so that they can eat fresh, local, healthy foods. Another part of Farmer Food Share's branch is their pop market, and that pop market allows nonprofits like me at Chestnut Ridge to source local food at reasonable prices. And so this came out of the need that farmers weren't selling all of their produce at the farmers market. And so it was often going to compost or to pig feed. And there was obvious need in the community for us to be able to purchase that. And so I am happy to be one of the Pop Market's Farmer Food Share's largest purchasers through Camp Chestnut Ridge. But the third facet of Farmer Food Share is they have a food ambassadors program. And so this is a group of people from all around the triangle that go through food ambassador training. And I am now the lead trainer for that program. And then what these food ambassadors do is we go into communities, we go into stores, we go wherever we're needed and do food demos. And that might be a cooking class. It might be a simple sampling of local seasonal food that people can then take and purchase and go back into their homes and cook that meal with a recipe provided. But I've stepped into that trainer role so that we can expand that program. And we have a couple other things that you will hear rolling out about in a few months, I think, as well.
Oh, you can't tell us? You're just going to tease us?
I think I'm just going to tease you on that.
Well, to have you back then so you can tell us officially in a couple of months.
Yes.
So tell me more about the pop markets. What does that mean exactly? So do they actually have a market that you go to, or are you just ordering them?
It's an online market.
Okay.
But Farmer Food Share has also obtained contract for Durham County Public Schools.
Mm-hmm.
And so they now are putting in local fresh produce into the Durham County School District. And so that's one of their bigger clients. There are some other backpack programs in the area that are able to purchase from organizations like Reality Ministries, Club Nova, are able to purchase and use these in their nonprofit kitchens. And the prices are affordable and reasonable. And, of course, it's seasonal. It's whatever's being grown. That's what the farmers are selling, and that's what they're selling for us.
So does Farmer Food Share just work sort of as an intermediary? Like the farmer, you buying directly from the farmer then as in this market, or do they sell it to the Farmer Food Share and then you And you have to be a nonprofit, I assume, for this?
Currently, yes. You have to be a nonprofit.
So then the nonprofit buys from... How does it work?
Exactly. Yeah, the Farmer Food Share is the intermediary. They're the marketplace. And so the farmers are selling to Farmer Food Share, and then I'm purchasing from Farmer Food Share.
That is really a very good idea. So this is,
really
instead
is.
Of ending up in the trash, this is sort of goes to the idea of all the food that is wasted in the country.
Exactly.
I forget now what the statistic is. We've done several shows now on food waste, and it's an insane amount of food that is thrown away every year. Not only by farmers who can't sell it, but in particular people in their house who don't use the food. It sits in the crisper and then they throw it out. Or it's a really a large amount of food waste that we have.
Exactly. I was talking with a chef colleague recently, and I was just asking about the waste. I mean, you watch TV shows. I'll go into restaurants, and I love to sit at the bar, right, where you can see the kitchen.
That's dangerous as a chef to sit at the counter.
It's a little dangerous, but it's telling. And I watch the prep work, right, and I see where their scrap is going. And at camp, we're great. I mean, we have compost procedures set up. We also have pigs and cows and other animals out of the farm that get to eat our food scraps, so it's great. But the best thing that you can do at home or in the professional kitchen is to either have a Ziploc bag or some container that goes in and out of your freezer. And you just put your kale stalks, you put your, you know, pepper tops, you put all of your veggie scraps into that container. And then once it's full, make a quick stock out of it and have soup that day. It's so easy. The same thing works in the kitchen. Have a pot on your stovetop that just during your prep work of all the weekend, you're throwing in all of the scraps. And at the end of the weekend, you've got stock for the next weekend or week ready to go. And so it's a little bit of extra thought, but it doesn't seem to be a lot of extra work because you're in fact getting something out of it.
Yeah, it's a great idea and one that I've seen many times in kitchens. I do that in my
Kelly
kitchen at
that.
Home.
Yes, I know.
You know, and it is a bit about just having to train people what to do. Like when people come even to my house, and you know, now people who've been there and cooked with me know it's like, okay, this probably goes into a bag somewhere in the freezer and then later on. And it's really like a bonus. You know, what you would have thrown away, you now make this delicious stock, which is used in so many food.
Exactly.
I always think it's just like the coolest thing. I love when stock is cooking because it's like you're just making food out of scraps, out of
and
trash.
The whole house.
You know?
I stumbled upon how awesome kale stock
That's
is.
Hard to say.
It's really hard to
kale
say.
Kale stock.
I have
stock.
Struggled. but, you know, kale is typically bitter, but the stock from it, I just added an onion. Like I had 5 pounds of kale, and so I had all the stalks from that kale.
Yeah.
And I added one onion to all those stalks, and it was just like, it was this sweet. Tasting stock of just kale stalks and onion. It was
That's surprising.
So great.
And you know, I don't like the stalks.
No, nobody
you know,
wants to
no.
eat
but you know, no. they do that a lot. People cut up the whole kale and they think they're being, you know, I don't know. Either, in my opinion, as a chef, it's kind of lazy. You didn't pull the stalks out and cut it properly. Or I don't know, they're just feeling bad and they want to use the whole thing. But I really don't like when they have the stalk in like braised kale or in any way. I don't want to eat it.
It's never going to soften.
No.
And so it's a great idea to put it into stock. I don't know that I've ever done that. That's a clever idea.
Healthy and delicious.
Yeah.
Totally.
And then even after you've used all of that and got all of that loveliness from the stock, you probably still can feed that to the pigs and the cows.
Pigs and all of them.
Yeah.
The chickens.
So I mean, it's really amazing that you've just sort of gotten everything out of it that you possibly can.
Definitely. And that's just how I work. I mean, from lemons, limes, to kale, to whole animals. We have our own farm at Chestnut Ridge. And so when we send them to the butcher and they come back, I'm using the bones, I'm using the feet, I'm using the heads, I'm using everything I can because it's all got value and it's all got flavor and it's all got nutrients that our bodies need.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's fantastic that you have it all there right on your farm. What kind of animals?
So our farm for meat primarily does pigs and cows, pigs and steers. But we also have chickens that do some eggs, not enough eggs to fully fill our kitchen, but we supplement with other local eggs. And we also have goats and occasionally rabbits. And our farm is doing some more on the agritourism side. So we do a pumpkin patch in October every Saturday. We were considering doing some sort of like We always do Christmas at camps in December.
Well, we have to take a break, but we can continue the conversation when we return. This is Say Yes to the Chef, and don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Cyril Murphy. Welcome back. This is Say Yes to the Chef. I am Kelly Taylor with my co-host Janice Escott and our guest today, Cyril Murphy from Camp Chestnut Ridge, and many other things such as Farmer Food Share, which we were talking about before we took a break. And we were also talking about the farm on Camp Chestnut Ridge, and I had to take a break, so I cut you off. I apologize. But you have beef and pigs. Mm-hmm. Chickens, but not enough to lay eggs. I don't think people realize how many eggs you need in a professional kitchen. It's like the magic ingredient, eggs. It's like for everything.
Yes.
So eggs are fantastic. And you have duck. And what else do you have? You said you were trying
goats
to expand
the
market.
Goats and bunnies. And for some of these agritourism events, we bring in some more petting animals. Mm-hmm. But primarily it's steers and pigs and then chickens to help with the land. And we also have bees. Our farmers, Erica Romkema and Sandy Straw, are great. Erica focuses is the overall farm manager, and she focuses on the meat side of the farm, and then Sandy does a great work focusing on the produce side of the farm. Due to the farm is about 22 acres, most of which though is like pasture, sort of grazing for the pigs and steers. So we only have about a quarter to a half acre in produce production right now. But I have many other farmers in the community that both I work with through Farmer Food Share, but that I also work with directly, and so we're able to supplement through that.
Yeah. So we didn't talk very much about how you got started. I'm curious how you started at the camp and in general in food. So is that your background?
Yeah. So it started a long, long time ago.
When you first ate food.
It started. My parents split when I was young, and I started going to my mom's parents' farm, my grandparents' farm, every summer. Starting at like age 6. And by the time I was like 7, 8, my grandmother had taught me everything I needed to know at that point about cooking. And she would leave in the morning to go to work, leave me with a menu with what I was to cook for dinner. And by the time she got home at 5 o'clock and my grandfather came in from the fields at 5 o'clock, dinner was there and on the table.
That's amazing.
Yeah. How old were you?
It's like 8, 9, somewhere in there.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah, she
good
was good. The best good thing she's taught me though is organization and cleaning as you go.
Yes.
That is crucial.
That is very crucial.
I also grew up, I would go out and help in the fields. I helped tend their garden and pickling and canning and all those things. I just got to partake in that. And then high school happened and, you know,
I didn't get to
go out there as much. But I would still go for a couple weeks when I would travel and that sort of thing. It was in northern Indiana. And then I went to music school for 6 years. I've got a master's in music, undergrad in sacred music. And I still practice music as the minister of music at Duke Memorial United Methodist Church in downtown Durham. But food just kept calling, one would say. And I'd worked in kitchens during undergrad just to make some extra money. I did some catering. I didn't know it was illegal at the time, but turns out. Don't worry, I now know what to do. And
you're probably not the only one doing that.
Probably not.
Or have done that.
I just sort of kept working. And so once I moved here to North Carolina, it was actually for the church job. But food kept getting louder and louder. And I learned just a couple years ago, my grandfather told me a story last time I was with them about when he was younger, he was an advocate for other farmers. He would go to town hall meetings or state level meetings and advocate for, like, the specific story was they were about to install power lines through his and some other farmers' dairy fields, like where all their cattle were being raised. And he knew that the effect of those power lines would potentially have a detriment to the milk, to the product that he was selling. And so he told me about fighting, you know, this advocacy thing. And so I was transitioning from music into food. I had just been a worker during the summer at the kitchen at camp. The next summer, I was actually the chef at New Hope Camp and Conference Center. And then coming out of that, the full-time head chef position opened up at Chestnut Ridge, and I took that over. Around the same time, Orange County's Food Council was beginning to take shape, as was Durham County's Farm and Food Network. So it just all sort of started to convene itself. Farmer Food Chair and I's relationship has grown. And though my past is music, there's not much different from leading an orchestra or leading a choir to leading a kitchen, right? You have all of these parts that have to create one equal whole. Mm-hmm. And if one is lacking, then the whole thing is lacking. So it's that balance. It's all of those leadership skills. It's all of the people skills. And my biggest thing is I want to be in and around people. Everybody needs to be able to sit at one table. Mm-hmm. That's my goal.
It's really fascinating that you're comparing the
music to food.
It's true, though. It definitely is. Everyone has to work together in order for it to turn out at the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can get by somewhat, but to have a really great meal at the end, you definitely need to.
Yeah. I was just thinking about this yesterday I'm planning for another one. I work with Grace Hackney and Life Around the Table. It's another ministry in the area. And they focus on food that's laughs. It's local, it's affordable, it's uncomplicated, it's good, it's healthy, and it's sustainable.
I love that.
I do too. That's great.
And she approaches food from a more religious background. She's in the Methodist Conference in the Corridor District. And this ministry, and a few times now, her and I have come together, and the meal follows immediately the communion ceremony, mm-hmm. right? And so no matter what your religion, if you're or understanding of faith, if you think about sort of that practice of communion, whatever it reminds you of, and if you lead that sort of partaking in something together directly into a meal, it just lifts the whole experience. And I've done it a few times now, and it's just I've even made the bread and the wine that are communed on, which is pretty awesome. But it's just something that's really hard to describe, mm-hmm. And how that comes together. But you're putting people around a table and you're inspiring conversation. And at the same time, you know that what's going into their body is going to refuel it.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating.
It really is fascinating that someone would come up with that, mm-hmm. and then be able to actually do it and serve. It's part of the service.
Yeah.
It truly is, yes.
Well, you have had such an experience with local food. I mean, growing up on a farm, I feel like the more we talk to people in food, they've always had these experiences, you know. Well, not all of them, but there are a lot of people who have some person in their life and when they were little, mm-hmm. that really changed everything down the road about food for them. And your grandma sounds like a she's like no-nonsense kind of gal.
She's a killer lady, I tell you.
That's great.
That is great. The Orange County Food Council, mm-hmm. is also one of the things that you participate in. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I'm the co-chair. Jen Weaver, who is a councilwoman out of Hillsboro, is my other co-chair for the Orange County Food Council. And that has come out of the woodwork in the past almost 3 years now. We've been working for 3 years. We finally elected a council in April of this current year, and we've been working on a strategic plan, and we have some funding. We're about ready. Actually, today we're offering a position to a coordinator for somebody to help us do the day-to-day work so that we can get into the community sooner. And that is the next step, is to get the community involved. Our role seems like it's going to be a convener. There are so many organizations, and you all get to speak with many of them that are working on these things. But the bigger picture is often missed. And so we want to be a place where that bigger picture can be seen, and that we can then find the gaps in the picture. Food waste yeah. is a huge gap.
It's a huge issue.
And there was in our process of selecting a council, we looked and we found somebody from every sector except for waste, and because nobody had come forward in the community yet. And so the need is there, but the passion isn't there in the community yet. So that's a gap that we're looking into, and how can it be filled?
Well, we have to take another break. But definitely something we should talk about when we return. Yes. You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef. I'm Kelly Taylor with my co-host Janice Escott. Our guest today is Cyril Murphy from Camp Chestnut Ridge. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Orange County Food Council and in particular the state of food here. This is Say Yes to the Chef. You're listening to Kelly Taylor and Janice Escott and talk with our guest, Cyril Murphy. He is the food service director of Camp Chestnut Ridge in Eflin and many other things. He works with the Farmer Food Share as well as is the co-chair for Orange County Food Council. And when we left, we were talking about the council, and we want to maybe start just to clarify a little bit more about what the council actually does in the community.
Surely. So last year we had some people who were working in and around the task force, which came to bring together the council, and they did a baseline food assessment of Orange County. They did the numbers side of that. And so through that, we were very clearly able to see specific gaps. And so the ones that came to the forefront were food access when it came to children, specifically the number of children that are on free and reduced lunch program has increased twofold, if not more than, in the past 5 years.
Really?
Yes.
In all of
Orange County.
Orange County. Okay.
In all of Orange County. And so the problem then is, one, why is that happening? But two, what about all of those students during summer?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because summertime, they typically don't have access to food. The other food access gap is in proximity to food. The way that the U.S. government measures food access has our map. The map that you could see looks a little interesting because UNC looks like a food desert, but it's only because the student population is greater than the number of grocers in that area, and so it looks a little off. But we have all of rural Orange County where there is a lot of food desert, where there isn't access to local – it doesn't have to be local – but where there isn't access to fresh produce or fresh food within a mile.
Oh, a mile. So that's the – distance.
So that's within urban, it's a half a mile, and within rural, I'm pretty positive it's a mile. So those are the two food access gaps, what is causing that huge increase in free and reduced lunch meals needed, and how do we get to a place where everybody in Orange County can have access to fresh food?
Okay.
The other gap is in and around food waste, and that's part of the production cycle. In that the distribution of food is part of the food access problem. So from the distribution standpoint of food, we actually end up with some of the waste issue because all of the food that's being grown in Orange County isn't getting sold in Orange County. And of course, some of it's got to be sold outside of Orange County. Mm-hmm. We grow more sweet potatoes in North Carolina than we'd ever know what to do with. But that production cycle, that production circle, the two gaps, one is distribution and getting food to enough places where it can be accessed by people. But then on the back end is that waste issue, which, as I mentioned, just right now there was nobody interested in taking that role on the Food Council. But we're hoping in the next few years as we continue to get into the community that we find people that would be willing to work on that project and to work with Orange County.
So how can they contact you? If someone out there is listening and they're interested in that position, how do they get in touch?
Yeah, I think the best way would be to check us out on Facebook, the Orange County Food Council. Mm-hmm. Make sure you go to North Carolina, not to like California or Florida or
another
something
Orange
like
County.
That. Another Orange County. I would also be happy to accept emails myself, Cyril, C-Y-R-I-L, at campchestnutridge.org, and we'll definitely funnel that into the communication circle.
Mm-hmm. So then the council sounds like you have these three topics, really. Food access, or is it two? Are you including the free and reduced lunch in the food access topic? But those things we talked about, free and reduced lunch, the access to fresh produce, and food waste.
Exactly.
Those are like sort of the three main points or the main, I guess, projects that you would like to focus on for however long it takes.
So
how do you plan on doing that?
So that's our next step. We haven't set the date yet, but early 2017, we'll have a food forum around food access, and then we'll have another food forum around food distribution. And those will be widely advertised, and we'll invite the community in so that we can start action groups, so we can start getting groups of people to work with. And there are already organizations working, you know, around some of these issues, but there's not enough work happening for there to see sort of a strategic outcome, for there to be a timeline when we can, you know, make noticeable progress to reduce these issues.
Do you think because it's not coordinated? I mean, there's a lot of people in this area that are doing work in food and in these areas. But everyone's doing it on their own, you know, and I feel like what I'm hearing is if the council could coordinate those efforts a little bit better and bring those people together, then more work could be done.
Exactly. And we're really grateful for funding from Orange County and then all three municipalities in Orange County, Hillsborough, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro. And all four of those entities want us to be a convener. Want us to be a sounding board for all of these other organizations in Orange County that are working, but maybe don't have the whole picture.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you started with, was having the whole picture.
Yep.
So explain what you mean by having the whole picture.
So the next step of that baseline food assessment is to do the story side, is to do the qualitative side. And so that will just hopefully better identify these gap areas. And so that's one way. We also...
you mean take the stories of the people who are in these situations?
Yeah, and looking at the specific organizations that are working already in food access, that are working already in distribution, to see what they're doing, but then to see what is missing from what they're doing. And not because they're not doing a great job. They're totally doing a great job. Family Success Alliance, the Partnership to End Homelessness, right? Their timeline was 10 years, and they've bumped that up to end homelessness in Orange County even way sooner than that. So there's lots of organizations, and we just want to get their stories so we have the full picture, and so we make the most educated plan to fix these issues in our county.
Yeah, it's a big task.
It is a big task, and you mentioned before about some of the statistics that happen, and that's going to be something that that organization is going to be able to handle.
Exactly.
And to find out where in some organizations statistics are not easy to do. And it will never be easy necessarily, but you have access more, it seems.
Yes.
Access to statistics so that you can actually look at the problems and then assess what they are and then go after the solutions. That's what I'm hearing from
Yes,
you.
Totally. Yeah. Maps are so telling.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So where are these people and how do they live and who are they and how do they function and what kind of help can you give them? It's a wonderful idea. It's a really wonderful idea.
Yeah, we're excited. Mm-hmm. There's always that cloud over your head of excitement because it's a big issue.
It's huge.
But we're working the best we can. There's 15 of us on the council, four are elected officials, and then the rest of us, like I said, come from all parts of the food system in Orange County.
Yeah, and you know, even I think forming, it's taken some time to form the council.
It has.
It's been a couple of years. I remember going to some meetings where I met you originally, because you served really good food. And I had to go meet who made the food. I'm always like obsessed about who made the food. But yeah, I think it's been taking a really long time because it is such sort of, it's a big thing to wrangle in and to figure out how do you even address it. Like, what is the best way to even address it? Those were the meetings I was attending, was like, this is such a big kind of nebulous thing. How do we, like, even to pick these three topics, I think, probably took a long time.
It did.
And a lot of research.
A lot.
You did the research.
Yeah. That's where the statistics come in.
Painfully sat there doing all the research. Yeah. But I don't know that it's easy to explain how much time and effort and research it took to get even to the point that you are.
Yeah, UNC, and you all did a podcast on a radio show on Food for All, mm-hmm. their program.
Yes.
And it's some of the UNC students that did the research of this baseline food assessment. Mm-hmm. I've just read it a few times now.
I saw the presentation at one of the meetings.
Yeah.
We have to take another quick break, actually. You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef on WCHL 97.9. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Say Yes to the Chef. I am Kelly Taylor with my co-host Janice S. Scott. You're listening today to Cyril Murphy, who is the food service director at Camp Chestnut Ridge, also works with Farmer Food Share and the Orange County Food Council. And I know you have some other things in the works because you don't have enough to do. So apparently you're going to start something else. Why don't you tell us about your project that you have going?
So for the past year and a half now, I started volunteering at Reality Ministries, which is an organization in Durham they call it a community for people with and without special needs. And they have a cafe crew, and this cafe crew now meets every Friday. And for the past year, we've been training and practicing, and they cook fresh food. And honest to goodness, they eat food that is better than most of the food that we eat probably on a daily basis. I mean, kale soup, sweet potato apple soup, with brie croutons.
Yum.
You name it, is fresh. Chicken salads, pimento cheeses, sandwiches. I mean, you name it, they cook it. And I've been able to work with them. And one of their next steps is to find an outlet for these people that have been training to have paid jobs in the community. There's also a need in our community for other nonprofits to have access to cooked, local, sustainably sourced food, like catered food, mm-hmm. that is affordable. And so I'm in the infant stages of starting a nonprofit or incorporating into existing nonprofit that would allow for both of those things to happen. And so my workers would be people from like the Reality Cafe crew, also maybe participants from Club Nova, or I've just started to build some contacts with people that might have connections for people that are coming out of the prison system. So looking at people that are on the outskirts of society, mm-hmm. that just need an opportunity. And through that opportunity, able to provide food at affordable cost, but that is local, that is healthy, that is raised sustainably, that's sourced from Orange County, from the Triangle. That can be produced, and everybody can teach each other. So two facets. One is this catering side. The other mm-hmm. is a side where we would actually have a teaching kitchen. Mm-hmm. I have this grand idea for a mobile kitchen, not a food truck, but like a load and unload kitchen that you can set down in Durham Central Park, that you can set down in the Carbo's Farmers Market, that you can set down in the parking lot of a mosque or set down in the parking lot of a church. Mm-hmm. And have people from the community come and cook together, mm-hmm. teach, learn, and prepare a meal that then is open to the community that they can come and eat. And so have that model that it can be replicated and just constantly learn. But then from those community meals, set people up with programs like Anatoth Community Farms offers, which is a harvest share. So if you buy a CSA from Anatoth Community Farms Gardens, then you actually are buying two. One goes to your house and one box goes to somebody in the community who can't afford to have one.
Where is that farm?
Sounds wonderful.
Anatoth is in northern Orange County, up near Cedar Grove.
Okay. That's interesting.
How do you spell that, Anatoth?
Anatoth. Chaz Edens is the director of that ministry. And Julia Sender is his assistant there at the farm, and she's also on the Orange County Food Council.
So you wouldn't want to train people to be able to work in the food service industry mm-hmm. after? Like, they'll go through your training program, I guess, and then go out into the world and
my
get
hope
different
is that
jobs? Or were you trying to employ them?
I want to employ them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't mm-hmm. quite get that part. Mm-hmm. So you want to do catering and these pop-up kind mm-hmm. of schools, which is a cool idea.
Yep.
Yeah.
That traveling kitchen is intriguing.
Remember Janice and I, because we're both instructors,
yeah.
about 2 years
yeah.
ago, we had designed a whole food truck kitchen just
awesome.
To do this, where it popped up and then the spaces could come out where people could
uh-huh.
teach and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it's a cool idea.
It is a good, great idea.
So it would be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So you can count us in if you need
yeah,
any help.
Yeah, I would love the help.
We would love to participate in that.
Great. Yeah. You're in.
So you do a lot of work just to help people learn how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any tips or hints for people who are listening who want to learn some tricks for affordable cooking and healthy eating at the same time? Because
yes.
they're not always together.
I know. I'm going to say something radical.
Okay.
And I hope that people don't turn it off. And that's that grocery lists are dangerous. Uh-huh. They're costly. Mm-hmm. They cost more than you think they cost. If you have a recipe book, a cookbook that says, go and buy all of these things, you're going to spend so much more money than you should be. Unless that recipe book is seasonally put together, it's not affordable. But right now is the end of broccoli season. Right now is kale and green season. There's always sweet potatoes in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Right. So if you go into the grocery store with, you want to make tacos that week. Well, what if you made butternut squash tacos? Because butternut squash is in right now. Arugula is in right now. You got a little bit of spice and some goat cheese or some cheese. And then instead of making your salsa, your pico de gallo out of tomatoes, make it with sweet peppers and onions and a little bit of lime and salt.
Mm-hmm.
And then your protein could be some beans or something on the side. Same thing as works with lasagnas, with spaghettis, with you name your cuisine style.
Mm-hmm.
If you rethink your grocery list around what is growing right now, you will save money in your budget every time. And so I think that's the hardest thing to teach people because it takes a little bit of time. It takes that learning. But once you commit to that learning, you're going to save time and you're going to save money because what is fresh is going to be cheaper. It's going to taste better. And it's just you're going to have quicker access to
and
it.
It really is something that people have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
People just don't know those things.
Yep.
And so your curriculum, your instructions really have to center on that kind of thing for people to understand how they're going to manifest that in their kitchen.
Exactly.
So that's a wonderful way for teaching in the seasonal kind of thing and combine that with the healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a definite different way of approaching it.
It is very different.
I think a lot of us go look for a recipe and then decide, oh, that's what we'll make. We go buy all the things. But I know, like, as a chef, I see what I have.
Mm-hmm.
And then I figure out what I'm going to make. And yes, I do the same thing in the grocery store or wherever I am. And I think it's a very different – it used to be how people cooked. You cooked what you had.
Whatever comes out of the garden.
But because we have the life we live in now where we can have everything, at the store, then we've changed all of that and that knowledge has been lost on how to do that. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what you're trying to bring back. And it is a radical idea for a lot of people because that is a comfort, to have your recipe and to have your list. So getting past that, I think would be a challenge. Do you find that to be a challenge with people?
It is a little bit of a challenge. It's something that we're working through in the Food Ambassador trainings that I'm leading now. It's something that I get to work with the kids out at Camp Chestnut Ridge with. I get to cook with them, not every week, but at least a couple times a month. And sometimes we bake, sometimes we cook. I lead cooking camps during the summer, and that's what I teach. I teach using the seasonal local produce. And that's what they learn at, like, Reality Ministries when I'm able – and even when I'm not there, they're always cooking locally. And so as we take this into communities, I think it would just spread. Eventually, there might be an online database that's sort of like a blog that could be ever-changing.
That's a lot of work.
I would need some help with that. But the idea of, of community, and if it's a community brain, I think some of that pressure gets taken off.
It takes a team to be able to pull that together.
Exactly.
It really does. But the idea is delicious. yeah, it really, truly is. And I think that it can come to fruition very quickly because I think there are a lot of people out there who would really want to participate.
Exactly.
So,
yes. And I think a lot of people, I mean, really, there are a lot of people around here who have that knowledge.
Yes.
And have the ability to teach and just to be there in some way and help out. We have a really great community of people who haven't lost all of the knowledge of cooking seasonally in North Carolina. So,
well, this has been a very great education for me, at least. And I know for our listeners, too. So, Cyril, thank you very much for
thank
being
you.
With us today.
This has been great.
It really has. Please like us on our Facebook, Yes to the Chef. And for more information and to listen to previous podcasts of this program, be sure to visit our website, www.yestothechef.com. We're co-host Kelly Taylor, natural chef and instructor, and Janice Escott, Cordon Bleu chef and instructor. Happy cooking, Kelly.
Happy cooking, Janice.
Happy cooking, Cyril. Thank you very much.
Everybody eats when they come to my house. I'll fix your favorite dishes. Hoping this good food will fill you. Stay in the kitchen alone, work my fingers.